well, the good news is, by golly, this harvest is going to happen. You are rounding third, heading for home on the soybean harvest. Did you notice any weird things in the yield monitor? Could it be SCN? Who knows? Well, let's talk about it. Greg Tilka is an expert on that. And Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Mick. My crew harvested our last experiment yesterday in the snow, but we are done officially. So it's a good day this morning, and I hope your listeners, your farmers, get things in the bin as well as quick as possible.
We had our snow, and then it went away,
yeah.
And then the cold. So you know, Greg Tilka, nematologist at Iowa, or is it nematologist?
Either one is correct.
Okay. At Iowa State University, so obviously Ames. How much snow did you get around the Ames area there?
Oh, it was just barely measurable. So we've had an inch one other time, but this was just barely measurable enough to make it, I don't know, uncomfortable, but it didn't hinder combining. And then with my experiments, after a plot is harvested, the crew follows and pulls a 10-core soil sample. So I think they had to kick away the snow a little bit to poke the soil probe in the ground. But it was just enough to make it seem weird and a fitting ending to this crazy growing season.
Man, I guess. All righty. So, but on the plots, your combine's a little smaller than, just as expensive, but a little smaller than the regular combine. Do you have a yield monitor on your combine?
We do, and we have auto steer, GPS, and you've described it perfectly. It's a little smaller, but we have all the same technology, and it costs darn near about as much. And we're like a traveling roadshow when we're on the road and we stop for fuel and so forth. Farmers like to come out of the coffee shops and the convenience stores and check out our miniature equipment. It's kind of funny to them, and it's kind of funny to us as well, but we're fortunate to have the miniature equipment.
The combine is different than a farmer's combine in size, but unlike a farmer, could you tell us some of your yields?
Yeah, absolutely. So a perfect example is the lead guy in my crew was harvesting last week, and looking at the yield monitor, there were plots coming in at 60, and right next to it were plots at 74 bushels per acre. And the difference was the type of resistance that the varieties had in there. So you get big differences between varieties in general, but then down here in Iowa, where we've grown resistance for a couple decades, the common type of resistance is starting to lose its effectiveness. And this was an example where a good old resistant variety with the traditional resistance came in at 60, which isn't terrible, but then right next to it was a variety with the uncommon type of resistance, and the yield monitor jumped up to 74. So it's fun to see those differences come through the yield monitor as you're harvesting the plots.
And by uncommon, do you mean new and unique so that the nematodes haven't figured that out yet?
Yes and no. So the common type of resistance is a breeding line called PI, capital P, capital I, 88788. And that's the type of resistance that farmers in North Dakota probably will have access to. And it should work wonderfully well because resistance hasn't been grown up in that part of the soybean producing region for decades, like down in Iowa. Now in Iowa, that type of resistance is about half as effective as it used to be. But there's another old resistance that's not been used hardly at all called Peking. P-E-K-I-N-G, like the city in China. And we're now seeing that resistance, varieties with that resistance, leading the yield scores in all our experiments. So I don't think North Dakota farmers need to worry about that as much. They just need to figure out if they have soybean cyst nematode and then start using good resistant varieties. And as I said, most likely they're going to be the common type of resistance called PI88788.
All right. So as seed is bought for the 2020 growing season, what resistance should they be looking for in their seed?
They should just ask. Well, they should start by soil sampling. There's probably not enough resistant soybean varieties to go around up in North Dakota, and so the farmers who know they have soybean cyst nematode should ask for a variety that's SCN resistant. And I don't think they need to worry about asking which of the two types of resistance it has. I think both types of resistance are going to work fine in North Dakota, and we know that based on some tests that have been done by North Dakota State University scientists there. They can collect nematodes from various fields in North Dakota and then bring it in the greenhouse and see how those different types of resistance work, and they both work well.
All right, Greg Tilka, Iowa State University nematologist. And Greg, yes, thanks for zeroing in, focusing in on North Dakota, but this radio signal goes down into South Dakota and particularly into the Redfield, South Dakota area, Spink County. And I see you have identified Spink County, South Dakota as a new hotspot.
Yep. Yeah, and Mick, the fortunate thing is everything I just said that's applicable to North Dakota is applicable to South Dakota. Obviously, those farmers in South Dakota are going to grow a little longer variety soybean, a little later maturity group, but the nematode isn't building up very much on the common type of resistance down in South Dakota either, 88788. So it's great if farmers want to be very vigilant from the very beginning and start alternating varieties with the two types of resistance if they could get varieties. But it really, we don't need to get that complicated. In North Dakota and most of South Dakota, it's a matter of testing your fields to know if you have soybean cyst nematode and then get with the seed company and get some good resistant varieties out there. One of the phrases that we say very often with SCN is it's much, much easier to keep low numbers low than it is to drive high numbers back down. So it's really beneficial when farmers sample fields or have those fields sampled and they find out they have some level of soybean cyst nematode, but it's not a catastrophe. The worst case is when fields go unsampled for years and years and years, and non-resistant soybeans are grown, and then when you get a dry spell or whatever, you see disaster in the fields, and at that point, there's no easy management option. So sample early, sample often, and keep low numbers low is kind of the best approach.
And these are hard lessons learned in the state of Iowa?
You better believe it. That's a very profound statement, and it's absolutely correct. We speak from experience, and I've worked with both types of farmers, folks that are really proactive, worried about this, sampling, and catch it and keep it in check. And I also, as you can imagine, get phone calls about the disasters. And we're here to serve everybody, and I work with everybody, but it's much, much easier to keep those low numbers low than to start dealing with a disaster when numbers are out of control.
All right. Greg Tilka, Iowa State University, nematologist. Greg, I failed to kind of point out one of the other hats you wear. You are the leader of the SCN Coalition. And so thanks for all that good work.
Yep. Thank you very much. And let me put in a last plug. There's so much information for farmers in every state at the website, which is thescncoalition.com. No spaces. thescncoalition.com.
And again, you mentioned get that soil tested and make sure people know their number. And don't be denial is a river in Egypt, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Think of this as high blood pressure. It's better to know you've got it and manage it rather than to wait for a disaster to happen.
Oh, so true. All righty. All right, Greg Tilka, again, the website for the SCN Coalition.
Yes, the SCNCoalition.com.
Couldn't be easier. All right, well, Greg, have a great weekend. I know Iowa State.
Thank you, Mick.
Yeah, Iowa State and Iowa, both on network television tomorrow. So.
Well, yep. I've got my Saturday planned out.
All righty. And so we wish everybody a lot of luck. Half the teams in the country will lose tomorrow, and we hope both Iowa teams are not in that half.
Yep. So. But if it happens, it happens. We'll move on.
All righty. Greg, great to visit with you. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Mick.
You bet. Greg Tilka, Iowa State University.